This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Come on, man!
Hot dance, touchdown number two!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Tyreek at the 40, 35, 39, down the sideline he goes! Touchdown! Sam Darnold putting on a show!
Earlier on the show, Prime Video TNF analyst Richard Sherman. Coming up, Fox Sports NFL analyst Julian Edelman, host of the Greenlight Podcast, Chris Long, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Three-time Super Bowl champion Julian Edelman will join us coming up in the middle of this hour to start talking about what happened in week number one. Two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long will join us in hour number three. That makes six Super Bowl champions calling in.
Wow.
And if the Seahawks had only run the ball with Marshawn one more time, it'd be seven Super Bowl rings.
See, I dispute that.
Because the Patriots had enough time to win the game?
Everyone just assumes he would have scored when he didn't score on the previous play where they ran the same play.
He would have scored. He would have scored.
Did you see him on the sideline, Marshawn, yesterday? When it was in the middle of the game,
right?
And he's up on Mike McDonald,
and
just like chit-chatting with him. Did you see that?
Wait, really? No.
Yes.
No. I wasn't watching much of that.
Yes.
I was like, wait a minute. I
thought to myself that they would dissolve out of that shot.
No, they
because
held
it
that
was
shot.
Before the game. That was like during the end of the first quarter. I think it was 3-3 at that point in time.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it was just before the two Broncos safeties of the second quarter hit.
Safety dance.
And it was Marshawn at his finest. Just, just kind of
awesome.
Like basically loosening up Mike McDonald, right?
He just is up there. He's rubbing his
shoulders. He's rubbing his shoulders.
He's got a hoodie
yes.
on.
What? Did you even see this?
No, like, how did I miss that?
He was giving him like a quick, like.
Was he giving him Skittles?
Massage.
He's like, you good? You good, son?
He was. I was.
Everything good
God
with you?
God bless that guy.
You got to love him.
Oh, yeah. I'm watching the video right now. This is hilarious.
It is. It's during the game. He's on the sideline.
Hold on. I got to tweet this out. Rich Eisen Show on Twitter if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Take care of y'all chicken.
Take care of his chicken.
That's
Wyatt, incredible. Wyatt in Charleston, South Carolina. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Wyatt?
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
What's going on?
Hey, so I'm calling from South Carolina, but I'm originally an Ohio kid.
Okay.
So I just had to ask a question about the Ohio kid from the Cincinnati Bengals.
Sure.
No T. Higgins, Jamar Chase's contract dispute. It was a rough showing on Sunday with a tough spot in week two. It's looking like another 0-2 start might be on the horizon, but I just wanted to know. I know you'll probably cover it on Overreaction Monday, but just wanted to know if you're overreacting at all, or do you see week 3, 5, 6 on the schedule with the or 4 and 6 with the Panthers, Commanders, Giants, teams like that?
Yeah.
Not overreacting yet.
And certainly you got to figure, and thanks for the call, Wyatt. You know, you certainly got to figure as well that the game at Cleveland might go differently unless Deshaun Watson finds a little bit of a fountain of youth.
That game looks like a stinker now.
I don't know. I mean, but again, that's the week one stuff. Like, what's the knee-jerk reaction here? What is the overreaction or not? Because there's a few things that I've been touting over the last couple of weeks that makes it seem like I spoke a little too soon. This is one of them. I had the Bengals winning the division, and I got Joe Burrow as the MVP of the league. Mm-hmm. And
me too.
I got to tell you, you know, Mike Gesicki not putting the ball away on the 1 yard line yesterday, they'd have tied the game and things might have been different against New England. I don't know, because he had trouble. And part of the reason why he had trouble is T. Higgins wasn't there. And the Bengals didn't pay Jamar Chase. It's that simple. It's that simple. When Jamar Chase showed up on the Saturday injury report or Friday injury report as being questionable, and part of the reason was illness.
Yeah.
You know what I said on game day morning yesterday? I said, here's the illness. The illness is, pay me.
Yeah. Where's my money?
And in the same, it's just like you're going to have to pay him at some point, unless they're just going to let him go through the season with this thing hanging over his head. And then what, franchise tag him? Is that what we're going to do here? Honestly, you're going to have to pay him at some point. And so he's on a pitch count, or he's not, or whatever the hell that was yesterday. But it looked like they were sleepwalking the entire time. And for the Patriots to come in and come out with the win is shocking. And you could say, certainly to a fan like Wyatt, embarrassing. Embarrassing that they would come in with the team that finished so poorly, they picked third overall and chose a player that didn't play yesterday. And they still came in and beat him. So, Ja'Marr Chase, again, he had this to say after the game about his usage. Oh, nice. Give a listen here.
I felt ready enough.
What's running through your mind after a game like that?
Just wish we had more opportunities to make plays.
It didn't look like you were targeted much down the field. Is that an indication of you just not being in training camp and able to get that in the game plan, or you weren't able to, or was that just...
I don't know. You got to ask Zach on that. I don't know.
Now, again, we always look in week one with the lens of last year. That's what we do. Yeah. We may find out, Chris, by the end of the year, that the Patriots have a defense that's no joke, and that whatever Belichick used to do with the defense with sprinkling the fairy dust on them and the do your job fairy dust
maybe
on
Mayo's
them,
got
and how these guys are always buttoned up,
well,
maybe he's bringing that to the fore in his own right with his own stamp.
Yeah.
From his own playing days, from his own coaching days. And we'll find out that, you know, getting beat like this and having your offense look as poor as it does, maybe it's a Patriot thing, not a you thing.
Keon White looks really good. Patriots offensive line, you know, looked a lot better than it did in the preseason, where everyone's like, whoa, Drake Mays is going to get killed out there if he's playing. Look, obviously very surprised. Don't expect this to see the, this is the Bengals team that we're going to see all year. But also, I tried to tell you guys
about the Patriots,
about upset.
Okay.
Watch.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're only saying that not because in your belief in the Patriots, is because you saw that Higgins might not play and Chase might not
play. Vibes were really bad with the Bengals.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, again, and they got a new running attack too with Zach Moss. They're trying to, this is the week one stuff that'll happen.
Yeah.
It's just one loss, and the only team that the Bengals are behind are the Steelers. And because the Ravens lost.
Right, one game.
And
back.
The Browns lost.
No big deal.
So I don't think all is lost. And speaking of another thing I might have spoken too soon about. Well, it certainly isn't that Mike Tomlin can coach teams up, because, you know, I've been saying that for
quite some time.
Big proponent. I had the Atlanta Falcons winning the NFC South. I honestly thought things would look good when Kirk Cousins connected in the end zone with Kyle Pitts. And I thought to myself, since when did Atlanta become London? When did that happen? Kyle Pitts wide open in the end zone.
Also waving his hand, waving, like jumping up and down.
It's like,
throw me the ball.
And it's not as if he's not tall enough to be seen.
Right.
But I had the Falcons winning this division. And the first week with Kirk Cousins in this offense, and again, we all know he didn't play. It was the summer of Heineke in Atlanta.
That's funny.
Well, it didn't look very good. That's for sure. Now it could be the fact that number 90,
dude,
is coming out like his hair's on fire, as always, hearing people like me saying he wasn't Defensive Player of the Year last year, and he and Micah Parsons have put something on tape already for week one. For that particular award.
I thought Watt was just permanently set up in the Falcon backfield.
Well, and there was one time he had the sack, he had the trifecta, but was just a hair offsides, and he was livid about being called
for it. He was offsides still.
I think he did jump the gun a little bit there.
A little bit. And then he had another one called back on a penalty,
dude,
a different penalty.
He was so freaking good.
Yesterday.
So it could be that, but the whole, well, just add Kirk Cousins, and Bijan Robinson is now going to be like Saquon looked like, and Drake London's going to catch touchdowns, and, well, Pitts did catch one.
Yeah, I thought Kirk looked not great, rusty, maybe a little banged up, not 100% healthy.
Well, I got to be honest with you. The last team you'd want to face is that Steelers defense if you're a little bit rusty.
Yeah.
Because they'll make you look that way. But on the other hand, and again, I know that the Commanders might be the Commanders, but the Bucs looked superb.
Oh, Baker Mayfield.
They looked superior.
Unbelievable.
They looked like the superior team in this division. We need to see the Saints against an opponent that's not Carolina to make this decision. But me right now, sitting on the Falcons winning this division and not the Bucs, I might have spoken too soon. Now, I know this is just week one. But you look at Atlanta's next two games. They're at Philadelphia. Kirk does not perform well under the lights on Monday night in Philadelphia, historically. And then they got Kansas City before they got home dates against New Orleans and Tampa, the two teams that did look terrific. They gotta come up with some dubs and some tough games. While Tampa, as I pointed out, they're at Detroit, but as I pointed out in the beginning of the season, I kind of like their schedule. They're home against Denver and Philadelphia, which is not easy. They're at Atlanta, at New Orleans, home for Baltimore. They're at KC, San Francisco. Those are the tough parts. The end of the season, it's not that difficult for a team. There's not a lot of outdoor games. They finish up with two at home. They got three out of four at home to start. Might have spoken too soon. Baker, my boy.
Ooh, look great. Man. Number one fantasy quarterback yesterday.
Did you see him screaming that this is my city? Mike Evans, two touchdowns.
He played like he was seeking your approval last night.
Like Chris Godwin, the team that catches end yards.
Rashad White.
Bucky Irving
looked
good.
Yes, I know. It was all good.
Yeah, it was all
and
good
defensively,
Bucks,
they were all over.
Yeah.
You know, I know Jaden Daniels was just running for his life a lot and just running.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the fantasy numbers, Jaden Daniels had a nice day, but right. He was running for his life.
Might have spoken too soon.
No Terry McLaurin involved.
Well, speaking of maybe not speaking too soon, can I give myself one at least? I said Arizona and Tennessee would be sleeper teams this year. I know they're not winning. They're 0-1 right now.
But they had big first half leads, both of them.
We haven't spoken to Jeffrey Simmons, but I don't know if he was screaming painted nails at Caleb. Caleb looked like he was looking for the Pac-12 to show up.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. So, but Tennessee and Arizona looked really good. They might be the sleeper team.
They're going to be tough outs. I mean, Arizona offense, I think, was as advertised. I don't know about the defense, and they did that without Marvin Harrison being involved at all.
Mm-hmm.
One catch, a couple of yards. He was wide open on one. You know, Kyler missed him, but.
Right. And in terms of rookie quarterbacks, I might have tweeted too soon, according to some Broncos fans.
Oh, no.
I mean, I watched the Seattle and Denver game on the multi-view, right?
Love the multi-view, by the way.
Please. Watched it on the multi-view, and on occasion would just pop on a little Spiro calling a game. And I just watched Bo Nix take it in the chops over and over and over again and check it down, and then once he would throw it to a receiver, they would be just put right down on the ground. You know? And I just watched him take some lumps in a very difficult spot to play in.
Yeah. Tough spot to make your debut in Seattle.
Please.
Yeah.
And I just saw that he didn't look like he was – I didn't see the body language. I just didn't see the bad body language. I kind of digged it. Especially since, I mean, the running game was non-existent. The passing game – I mean, who are you circling? Is it Cortland Sutton, right? I mean, is that who you're circling?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, he kind of acquitted himself very well, and then I got a bunch of Broncos. But I tweeted it out. I basically said, Seattle outlasts Denver, but there's a lot to like about Bo Nix. Oh, my God.
That's positive.
Oh, dude, I got a lot of, did you watch this game?
Oh.
Are you serious? Broncos fans were livid with me.
From Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
That's really interesting.
Like, you don't know anything? Were we watching the same game? Honestly,
giving up on the kid after one game?
Were you watching the same game?
Wow.
Not me. He ain't it.
Hmm.
Patrick Surtain tweeted out calling the reaction pathetic. Not, I don't think it was in relation to my feed, but I think he saw some. I think he deleted the tweet, actually. I couldn't find it before the show. But here's what Sean Payton had to say.
Did you think Bo was a little jittery early and then finally
no.
got into it?
No, I mean, I didn't. I thought he seemed calm, poised. I thought that part of it, you know, he was, I think, you know, I felt like he was very comfortable and ready. Listen, I think part of being a young player is, you know, he's a fairly confident, I don't want to say kid, but I felt the whole time he was into it, competing. We just got to be better around him. And that's my impressions from just watching it without looking at the tape.
Not to have him catch a stray, but to Broncos fans, you want the guy who you picked up from the Jets. Is that what you want? You want him out there in Seattle? Is that what you want? You want to try Jared Stidham out? It's 1 week. Honestly, I saw the kid just take it in the chops and just not have any of that bad body language. And I know I'm asking for it because you should see the tweets I got.
Oh, I'm reading. Literally. I'm reading them right now.
Oh, I don't know anything about football. Did you watch the same game?
It's not great. Yeah.
Well, all the experts are on X. You know that, right?
Oh, so, I know that. Yeah. I know that. I don't know. Does Putin not like Knicks? Is that what it is?
So they're doing Russian bots.
No idea. I don't know. I you know, maybe I should have watched it a little closer. I don't know. Maybe I spoke too soon.
It's one game.
Denver's next game, man. For Denver.
What do they have?
They're home for Pittsburgh. Jesus. Boy.
By the way, now that defense, now at Tampa looks really tough.
At the Jets ain't easy either. But they you know, Sean Payton's got the juice there, and he's just like, I'm gonna draft the kid and we're gonna throw him in the deep end of the pool because I think he's ready.
Yeah, and obviously
I could be totally wrong. We could see Jared Stidham maybe week four because the Steelers and the Bucks, T.J. Watt and Vita Vea are waiting for him, and then you know you want to throw him at Quinnen Williams?
Not particularly.
No, that's what I'm saying. Maybe they're going to say let's give him a break, let's give him a breather. But not everyone's C.J. Stroud out of the box, folks. I think he has made a ton of sports fans very spoiled. You know who did that once upon a time? Big Ben.
Oh yeah.
The number of rookie quarterbacks that would come after Big Ben, and you'd be just like, that guy stinks.
Well, he was like 15-1 his first year or something.
So my apologies to Broncos fans for seeing half a glass and thinking it's full.
I mean,
I don't know. Seattle's a tough spot to play in, man.
Yeah.
If loud, you're a rookie.
Loud.
Oh, this just broke, guys. Roma Dunze is getting an MRI on his knee today.
No kidding.
He only had one catch, 11 yards.
So. Schefter just tweeted it out.
What a bummer that is.
Yeah, so I don't know what the deal is there.
What about Puka Nacua? Where is he?
Haven't seen an update on Puka yet.
Yeah, that just made me upset.
I mean, you could see they got some depth in that position for the Rams.
Yeah.
So, my word.
Whittingham and Parkinson was good. He's a good tight end.
So keep an eye on all that, Dr. Brockman.
Yeah.
All right. Julian Edelman will be joining us coming up shortly right here on the Rich Eisen Show with Chris Long. And more of your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash. That's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness. Your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Courtesy of Jameson, the iconic whiskey brand, and everything going on. Julian Edelman, three-time Super Bowl champion, is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Julian? What's up, bud? You good?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
I'm great. What?
I'm excited. It's a great start to the season.
What are you excited about? What excites you? What are you excited about?
Football was back. I mean, starting with the opening of the season, the Chiefs go out and they look like they're going to be better than what they've been in a while with their additions of, you know, the speed kid and Rashid Rice playing good and Chris Jones just being a problem. And then you get into the Friday game. So we have back-to-back games, which was nice. And you get a little excitement because it was in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and you know, you get to watch Philly against the Packers. There's been so much hype around Jordan Love, and it was such a great game. You know, little rust for Hurts and over there, but they find a way to win it. It was just an exciting, great game. And then it led into this weekend of just, you know, I gotta give a shout out to my Patriots, man.
Yeah,
going into Cincinnati,
right,
getting a big win. Everyone's been talking about everyone else. The Patriots are going to be a four-win team, and they could be. But the way they came out and set the tone for their season, not turning the ball over, you know, jamming Rashad Stevenson's down your throat, Jacoby Brissett making big plays when the team needed it, you know, turnovers on special teams with Joe Cardonia, the long snapper, making a big tackle, force fumble. I mean, it seemed like a good Patriots game. And, you know, I'm so happy for Jerod Mayo because that's got to be that's a hard spot to be in when you're coming in after, you know, Bill Belichick. Let's be real. But it was kind of ironic because it looked like such a Bill Belichick type game.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Julian. I was going to ask you about that to see if were there any similarities. I mean, you know, obviously
100%.
Everybody, like, what,
I mean,
what are they?
You look at how they played the game. They didn't turn the ball over. They played fundamentally sound. They were, I think they were, what, 55% on third down. Bengals were about 40 or something. You know, they beat them on third down. They took the ball away twice. They had great field position with their special teams. You got to give a shout out to the punt unit. They were that hidden yardage. And, you know, it was a tough team win. And that's what, you know, we prided ourselves on. So it was really great for Jerod Mayo and the Patriots to get out there and start this new legacy of what they are with the dub.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, if I had told you back in the day when you were winning titles, you know, with the Pats, that the first ever non-Belichick game would be won by quarterback Jacoby Brissett with Jerod Mayo being the head coach and Matthew Slater on the staff, right? And
Slate.
You know what I mean? Like, what would you have said back then, right?
I would have said, on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, guess what? After being on to Cincinnati and coming up with that win, now you're on to next up Seattle. you know, and then at the Jets.
Yeah, which is a winnable game. Which is a winnable game. They got to go across the country to New England. You know, I was really impressed with McDonald and Seattle's defense. It looked very – it seemed very similar to what the Pete Carroll regime was. You know, they had a really good defense, good on special teams, made a couple plays on offense, was a little – started a little slow. But, you know, it's kind of crazy with these two teams, Patriots and Seattle. You know, they hire new coaches, but they still have kind of the same philosophies.
Julian Edelman here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the other games that jump out at you, I mean, did you watch the end of the Sunday night game, seeing the Lions just jam it right down to Rams' throat, Julian?
I did, and that was a really good football game, and that was – it just made me such a bigger fan of Matthew Stafford that game, even though they lost. Mm-hmm. I mean – they're running out of bodies left and right. They didn't have their tackles. Puka gets hurt. You know, Coop had a great game, 14 catches or something like that. But to see Matthew Stafford and how there was that one third down where he sat in there and he had those two guys in his face and he anticipated and he threw that crosser like almost like a no look over to the left and he hit his receiver like he threw it to a spot. Like that's really impressive football when you know you're going to get hit and you can sit and deliver a strike. I mean, he's a pretty ball. He throws the ball so pretty. I've thrown with him a couple times. And, like, the first time we ever met, we shook hands. We went, like, 44 for 44. And I've gone with other quarterbacks, and there's always a little timing, you know, adjustment when you start to throw with a new quarterback. First day, Matt Stafford, high five, boom, zinging. And that's what he is. It's just it was impressive. He's tough. You know, I think that's going to be a good football team, the LA Rams, and then Detroit on the other side. Talk about toughness, MCDC. You know, the way they won the game, driving the ball down the field, knowing what they had to do to win the game. That gives you that shows and that shows everyone that hey, we're a tough football team. It didn't start the way they wanted, but come out with a win. I mean that's when you start to know you're a really good football team is when, you know, you can win ball games when you're not playing your best. That's a sign of a team that, you know, they got some solid foundation going in for the year. You know, this is week one. There's ups and downs. There's going to be a whole lot of emotions everywhere. And these teams won't be the same team that they're going to be, you know, halfway at the end of the season. But, you know, for both of those specific teams, the Lions and the Rams, those are great starting points for those two organizations.
When did you throw at Stafford? When did he throw to you? When was that?
He threw – so I used to go over to Tom House, he had a clinic out in Long Beach.
Right.
And Tom used to go there and we'd dial up there. But, you know, I would stay in L.A. and all these other pro quarterbacks would come to the field to work with Tom. And, you know, in the offseason, you want to catch balls, pro balls, run routes. And so, you know, I would throw a bunch of other guys.
And so Stafford was one of them at one time and you're like, okay.
One time Stafford was there. And he lit it. I mean, you could just – the ball comes off his hand differently. He could pick up any ball and throw it. You know, and I'm pretty sure he could probably drink like 8 to 12 beers and go and throw it better. Like he's that kind of guy. You know, just a cool dude. And I'm really happy for him. And, you know, what is he? He's 36, 37
yeah,
years
36.
Old.
Yep. Yeah.
He's not a young guy. And I know we all want to be like, oh, Tom Brady played to 45. So that's an anomaly. So, you know, to see these guys like Matt, that's a, you know, he's not a young guy to go out there, take the punishment he did, deliver the football, not have the, you know, the ghost rush in your face. When you get to be an older quarterback and you're hit a bunch, especially as much as Matt Stafford was hit in Detroit, you know, that could kill a quarterback and to get rid of the ball quicker, be if he feels something, the ghost, you know?
Yeah.
But that was a really impressive game. And then Jared Goff, too, on the other side. What an awesome situation for him to go in and, you know, the team that he played for, that he went to a Super Bowl with the LA Rams, trades him to Detroit, which was a dumpster fire at the time. You know, he he leads him to the NFC Championship a couple years later, and then he beats his former team twice now, you know, one in the playoffs and now here in opening day. I mean, that's a great story of you know, Jared Goff just being a mentally tough guy, not sniveling. And what a better guy to be the flag carrier for the Detroit Lions than someone like that.
What are you doing for Jameson, brother? What's going on?
We're promoting, you know, we're trying to make some noise. We went to the league office and put a bunch of people out there to try to get a game to Dublin, Ireland. You know, me playing in Boston, you know, we had a lot of Irish fans. You go to Chicago and you see the Irish influence they have there. That, you know, it just seems like it should be, there should be a game in Ireland, no?
Yeah, I'd do it. Are you kidding me? That would be incredible.
It seems like, I mean, with the success that they had with the college game over there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think it would be a fun experience. I don't think it's too far, you know, especially, you know, and it's, we kind of have that infrastructure going across the pond to other places, you know, so, but, you know, I think with the fans that they have, the time that they like to have, you know, a rowdy group of people that love to have fun, watch sports, rally around, you know, their team or a league. I mean, I think it would just be such a fun experience, not just for the people of Dublin, but, you know, for the players to get to go over there. And those are cool experiences. When I went over to London and played, it was the first time I ever left the country.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, for a player, you know, that plays football, it's such a domestic sport. Where, you know, you've been everywhere in the States, but, you know, you sit and you look at these other sports, you know, the soccers of the world, the hockeys of the world, you know, and basketball, these guys, they experience so many different cultures. It's a cool experience, not just for the fan, but for the player. But, you know, I think Jameson's doing a great thing, trying to get some noise to get that game out there. And I'm happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, JamesonSports.com. Fans 21 and older can show support and join the Jameson Touchdown in Dublin huddle at JamesonSports.com. Last one for you, Julian, before I send you on your tour. I would sit here and ask you to break down the Cowboys and the Browns and how great the Cowboys looked and the Browns didn't look all that great. I would love to go over the X's and O's if it weren't for the guy who was calling the game for Fox at the time. Julian, your 2 cents, your unvarnished 2 cents on Tom Brady's first game as a professional National Football League national sportscaster is what?
Yeah, I think he did good. You know, it's his first time on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings me back to, like, first time I got on camera for Inside the NFL, and that red light turns on. I mean, it's, you do all this preparation and it just changes, and you got to go and do it. And, you know, like Tom in anything he does, having that one rep is going to make him better for the next one. And I know he's going to be out at home going over all the games and going over his game and self-scouting to see what he can do better. But I think it was a great starting point for Tom.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the latest example of people wondering why he's doing what he's doing. The roast was the first one of those in 2024. You know, certainly when he's placing himself in the verbal crosshairs of one Julian Edelman, right, on that night. What a night that was, Julian, right?
There was a lot of Jameson that night.
It's just a wee bit. So how would you rate your performance that night compared to everyone else's?
You know, that's,
what do you think?
I'm not a comic. I don't know. I can't give a grade on comedy.
I thought you did great. I thought you did very well. Thanks. I was there. You know, I mean, Bledsoe came out. Bledsoe.
I saw you and your wife.
Oh yeah.
Sitting right up.
That's right. We were there. They cut away to us over and over and over again, because I guess, you know, I don't know that when, certainly when, it was all about Kraft or anything else, they were cut away to us, you know, where it's a lot of fun. But, you know, Bledsoe, I think Bledsoe kind of crushed it, don't you think? Coming out there, he kind of killed it out of the players.
He set the tempo. He set the tempo. He was the first of the civilians to go. So it was, I think he did a great job.
Civilians. I like it. That's a good use of civilians, Julian. But yeah, I mean, Tom, you know, did well, and he's got another one coming up, you know, and it's not easy. It is not an easy gig to just with the line. Although the one person I felt for the most was Kevin Burkhardt, because that's a terrible two shot for him. He's going to lose every single time they show that booth. That's a major loss.
You know, Tom looks good. That hair. Woo!
I'm with you. Julie.
It's like Farrah Fawcett with those bangs.
Wow.
Good. Wow. Good to chat with you, Julian. You're the best.
Always.
We'll chat soon.
I'll come in soon.
Please.
See
ya. Yeah, let's chat in person. There we go. The 405 is not tough. I'll send you the Rich Eisen Show helicopter. Okay.
Oh, put me down for two.
You got it. Thanks, Julian. Julian Edelman, courtesy of Jameson, right, here on the Rich Eisen Show.
We get some Jameson down here. I mean,
honestly, the only bigger blowout loss in Cleveland than the final score of that game was the two shot for Kevin
Burkhardt.
Oh. I took a photograph of the Michigan-Texas halftime where Klatt had a chat with Brady.
Brady. Yeah.
I took a shot of that, and I sent him. I'm like, I use that line too. I said, you're a handsome man, but
Joel was holding his own. He was punching back.
I'm like, this two shot is a bigger blowout than the one that you're calling right
Brady
now.
Brady was super cash. He was inside the empty stadium.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was, yeah.
You know?
He had it going on.
Oh, he does.
It was his first game.
Dude,
he sounded a little nervous.
Like I said.
Which is a little unexpected, but he also sounded over-prepared.
It is not easy to do.
Yeah.
And he has not done any games. That's it.
He hasn't done secret done Altuvo any. Practice
and listen,
sessions.
Olsen did games when he was a player.
Right.
Olsen did the combine when he was a player. So he kind of had a sense of cadence, and he had a sense of broadcasting before stepping in a booth. And there are times where Brady, you know, definitely was, I think, fishing for the right analysis to offer. And the problem with that is the clock ticking before the next snap.
Yeah, and there were some dead air spots where it was like, I know I was waiting for, all right, Tom, this is you to fill in. And it was just kind of dead air.
Right.
And then they went to the next play, and you're like, okay.
I just think he was at a loss for trying to describe a quarterback who didn't give a team a hometown discount and took every penny that's on the table. Or
before another watching one, Deshaun
another,
try to play.
Another one struggling.
Yeah.
It's tough for him to relate.
Okay.
But I think what will definitely help is that the last quarter was just a ton of just tap dancing and telling stories and figuring stuff out. So, and it was great to listen. Olsen and Joe Davis are a great listen as well. Yeah. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. More of your phone calls. Chris Long in hour number three coming up. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Say goodbye to complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping, and say hello to an advantage with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Every business faces challenges, but shipping shouldn't be one of them. So keep things simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges for Saturday deliveries, residential deliveries, or fuel. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, helping you counter the rising costs of doing business with a budget-friendly alternative. And keep things reliable with on-time ground shipping, ensuring your shipments get to where they need to go while maintaining your hard-earned reputation. USPS Ground Advantage is your ticket to easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. It's the complete delivery service your business needs to rise above the competition. There's never been a better time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. Well, I mean, and that's why I'm wondering why you would go by the name of Matty Ice, Matt. That's why I'm wondering. I mean, that's a beer-infused nickname, and it doesn't fit anymore. So. Would you agree it doesn't fit anymore, Matt?
Are you is the Mattrel coming back, or are we making a push for the Mattrel here?
No, I'm pointing out that certain nickname that you've had for a long time just it.
I like beer. Out there, I do like beer.
Right. So when it comes to it, though, you're not slamming them back, right? Is what you're saying?
No, I guess I'm drinking responsibly.
Okay. Something that would be. A natural light of some sort, man? What are you drinking?
It's been a long time.
See? You keep making my point. Why won't you take the natural from me, man? Why won't you do it? I mean, how many times do I have to ask?
There's just nobody else wants it.
Are you aware I offered it to Stafford, your buddy?
Is that right?
Yes.
He didn't take it either.
Well, I mean,
that's a no, Matt.
Hold on a minute. Excuse me. Hold on. I gave him full disclosure that it was a retread and that you had rejected it. Because I know you guys talk. I know you guys are tight, right?
He forgot to mention it to me the last time I saw him.
I can't believe that wasn't top of mind for him. Okay, so just on behalf of all my loved ones who are cringing right now, just tell me to move on, Matt, and I'll move on. Just tell me to move on.
Rich, you got to move on. You got to move on. I love you, but you got to move on.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much.
Even if I gave you a T-shirt or anything. All right, Matt, I can take a hint after 9 years or so. Go to our YouTube channel for almost 10 years of stuff. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Game Time Tickets. Make sure that you get it on an app right now and start buying tickets to anything in your area. Certainly concert tickets. Susie's taking Zan to a concert tonight.
Nice.
In particular, there's all sorts of stuff. Basketball season's around the corner. Yeah. Football season's underway. College and professional. This is the best way for you to get your tickets and make sure that you're not only paying exactly what you want to pay for your tickets, but you're seeing the field or the stage or the ice or the court exactly the way you want to see it. And Game Time Picks is a new feature that helps you get these incredible deals and great seats because it filters out the fluff and the only things you see are the incredible deals. And you don't have to spend time searching through thousands of tickets. It's the best way to get the easiest way to get the tickets that you want. Take the guesswork straight out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH. You get $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Mitchell in Pensacola, Florida has been hanging on for a while. What's up, Mitchell?
That's me. Hey, Rich. Now that we made it, I'm on the air.
What's up?
I just wanted to call in, talk about the Jags and Dolphins.
Yes.
Anytime the Jags, man, they get a little bit of adversity, they crumble under pressure. It seems like nothing has changed since last year and the year before that. You know, I know that it went to the playoffs, but there's something with Trevor Lawrence. Whenever he gets in his head, when something bad happens, he can't get through. You know, ETN, when he fumbled in the end zone, that was a game changer. And then the next play was a 60 or 70-yard bomb to Tyreek. I knew it was over at that point. I want to know your thoughts on that.
Well, my thoughts on it are, you know, Jacksonville has a lot going for it, man. They do, and they've got a ton of players that can affect the game. And there are some teams in the NFL that just don't have any of them. I mean, Denver's a perfect example, right? I mean, there's a handful of teams that don't have players that can affect the game. Jacksonville does have those players. And the question is just to put it together. And you know, it's a week one loss. All is not lost. Basically, when you see, you know, Houston in week four, make sure you're not 0-3, number one. And number two, yeah. And number two, come up with that win on the road, and all of a sudden things are looking better for you. There's two games in London. They have experience winning those games. Those games are against Chicago and New Orleans. New England, those should be winnable. And unfortunately, I think by the time week eight rolls around, Jordan Love will be back for Green Bay. So that's
Green Bay normally plays horrible in Florida with the humidity. Now I'm here in Florida,
and again,
that is one good thing that's coming.
That's some of the benefits that you have. There's a game against Indianapolis in week five. Just win your games in division and see how it all plays out. But that was a disappointing week one loss. And thanks for the call, Mitchell.
Oh man, hopefully it's not a demoralizing loss for them. Hopefully they can bounce back. They got a ticked off Browns team coming in. You know, they got embarrassed on the national stage. So we'll see. I think week three is Houston in Houston, if I'm not mistaken. So they've got to win this game coming up next week. I was heading into the second half thinking, you know, they were going to put it away, and they didn't. But,
appreciate the call, Mitchell. Thank you. Oh, sorry. It's okay. Sorry, Mitchell.
Week four at Houston. Week three is Monday night at Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah.
Tough schedule for Jacksonville.
Certainly, that's why starting out 0-1 is an issue for that sort of stuff.
They had it. Yeah, that ATN fumble was huge.
But again, I think everybody just needs to take a little bit of a breath, although us saying, hey, tune in the Overreaction Monday pod kind of belies that. But
I will not be breathing during
that's the point of that show, is to just dive straight into overreacting. Yeah. And there's a lot to overreact to after a first week. But I did leave out a team earlier that needs a hug the most, a franchise or a fan base that needs a hug the most. And I forgot to mention them, and I'm going to make up for it right here. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Green Bay Packers. Man, that was a winnable game, number one. Number two, you lose your quarterback with two snaps to go. And it's 3 to 6 weeks for Jordan Love. With all that optimism and all these players and this Jaden Reed kid, and I'm not just saying that because I might beat you in fantasy this week with him.
I mean, you won't.
But he's got some big playability. It took a half for Josh Jacobs to get going, but you saw that. And man, can Matt LaFleur coach. And I'll tell you this, it's going to be on him here now to get these Packers through the next 3 to 6. I hope it's three and it's not six.
Yeah.
Because on behalf of a fan base whose team wears green with a Green Bay Packers quarterback on the team, and you're placing a lot of hope in that player, and there's a week one injury and a backup that does not appear to be ready for primetime, and a playoff team otherwise around him. On behalf of that fan base, I say to you in Green Bay, I hope there's a better plan than the one the Jets had last year. And at least you got more than four snaps out of your quarterback, and at least you're going to get him back as well. But I think this is on Matt LaFleur now for sure. And I think he's up to the task. They have the players to do it. But I am genuinely concerned. Genuinely concerned. Because, you know, when a story comes out about a roster move and you don't pay that much attention to it, and then suddenly, boom, it comes out of nowhere. Late August, Packers acquire Malik Willis from the Tennessee Titans. And they cut Sean Clifford. They re-sign him to the practice squad. I don't know, man. Whatever they saw in Malik Willis on previous tape or something, or they were hearing about what he's looking like, or they saw what he was looking like, and they're like, we can do something with that kid. And now he's backing up Jordan Love, and he's going to be handed a playoff, hopeful, and ready team. And he's got 3 weeks at least in this offense. And Green Bay's next 3 weeks, home for Indianapolis, which, you know, had its hands full with Houston and damn near beat them, mm-hmm. with a defense that can maraud. You saw they were in Houston's backfield quite a bit yesterday.
Yeah.
Although they did let Joe Mixon run wild on him, and it'll be on Josh Jacobs to figure that one out. Then they're at Tennessee. I mean, of all places for Malik Willis to show up.
Crazy.
And then home for Minnesota. And if it's not Jordan Love, they got to come to the Rams, home for Arizona, home for Houston. Boy, I hope Jordan Love's a fast healer. Or Malik Willis can get coached up well and fast in a way that Tennessee didn't unlock.
Malik Willis and Jordan Love don't strike me as similar players either. So I was confused when they acquired him, and now I'm really more curious how this offense is going to look with him.
It's funny. I tweeted out, over the weekend that I'm wondering if Ryan Tannehill is getting a phone call from a 920 area code, and somebody accused me of, did you Google what the Green Bay area code was? And I said, yes.
Is 920 not Green Bay?
It is Wisconsin that covers the Green Bay, yes. So okay. I had to Google that. Okay. And I just re-Googled it to make sure I remembered the numbers.
I did too. Also 274, apparently.
Well, at any rate, long story short is Tannehill.
414.
I'm wondering if they could basically say, we need you.
Yes.
And if he says he should say yes to that, I don't know whatever else he's going to say no to that because Jordan Love's going to come back. I don't know.
You'd be a part of a possible championship team.
If I'm Green Bay, yeah. I'm reaching out to some serious veteran help because, folks, you're in the Lions division and the Vikings and Bears are already one up on you. Yep. They're only going to get better. And if you start out 1-3, 2-4, that might be a difficult hole for you to climb out of. I'm concerned, and that's why I'm giving, a hug to the Green Bay fan base right now. Chris Long on what happened to Cleveland and with Dallas and more coming up, hour three. That's another fan base I was giving a hug out to.
Totally. Rich, I know you're excited to watch Aaron Rodgers play. Did you just see the news with him and Netflix?
I did not.
Aaron Rodgers, a three-part docuseries looking back at his comeback. Premieres December 17th.
Oh, so they were shooting it, huh?
They were filming the whole time.
God bless it. When is it airing?
December.
Why are they waiting?
I don't know.
Like, now's the time.
There's a trailer out on the Netflix Twitter page. He's on a plane talking to his doc.
I know I'm in the news for Netflix people to have reached out to me. I have not spoken to them one whit about football, but I will actually say to them through the screen here, because I'm a veteran of this stuff. A veteran of this stuff, having grown up in New York City. I'd hurry up with the edit. Because I hope Rodgers is healthy and being as successful as possible. So this will be looked at as a documentary of this is how and a large reason why the success of the team looks the way it is. By December, this story may have been played.
It's called Aaron Rodgers Enigma.
Here it comes.
Oh, my God. I'd edit faster. Edit like the wind. On behalf of, but again, I'm just wearing the scars of a fan base that has trapdoors ready to open. Maybe starting tonight.
I think you might win tonight, actually.
It's my 2 cents to Netflix. Chris Long coming up.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt, movie director James Mangold.
I'd want to turn Bob Dylan into a simple character with a simple thing to unlock that then makes you go, ah, now I get him. First time I sat down with him, he said, what's this movie about, Jim? It's about a guy who's choking to death in Minnesota and reinvents himself in a brand new place, becomes phenomenally successful, starts to choke to death again, and runs away. And he smiled. He was like, I like that.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.